Welcome to The Greatest, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Greatest. I am Megan Gailey, joined this week by my husband and co-host CJ Toledano.
What's happening? Why this week?
Just trying to throw some flavor.
It just sounds like an intro.
Just trying to throw a little change on there. Happy week of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Hope you are planning to stay safe and healthy.
Stay inside.
I am going to be making corn souffle, corn casserole, whatever you want to call it. And CJ is going to be making
mac and cheese and stuffing.
Wow. Those are two big important items. Now, some people don't think you're supposed to have mac and cheese at Thanksgiving.
That's ridiculous.
That's absolutely absurd
and stupid.
We never had it growing up, and I always wanted it. I remember when you're asking if we could have spaghetti and meatballs for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. If you enjoy it, it's like Thanksgiving is a time to eat all your favorite foods, and spaghetti and meatballs is in my top 10.
Yeah. And I've been to a one of your large family gatherings for Thanksgiving, and there was Filipino food.
There's Filipino food. There's pizza for
rice.
The kids.
Oh, yeah. It was so good. I was thrilled.
All right. Well, that's the most Thanksgiving theme portion of the show. I want to bring on our guest, who is a dear, dear friend of ours. Very, very funny comedian, comedy writer, actor. He's got it all.
You may know half of
Butt Sketch Comedy
my
Group.
My favorite sketch group.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe McAdam.
Guys, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And I'm psyched about Thanksgiving. Let's do this.
What are you making?
Let's have Thanksgiving.
What are you making?
I'm making mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese, if you don't think it should be at Thanksgiving, that's weird. Like,
yeah.
Just allow it. Just
right.
Allow it.
I never knew it was controversial until recently. I see people tweeting like, "Oh yeah, it's not a real like holiday food." It's like it's the most like comfort food to me is Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner.
Well, and if you can have like cheesy potatoes, why can't you have cheesy pasta?
Yeah,
that's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, everything should be like a cheesy, you know, carb, starch, whatever. That sounds great. That sounds fantastic.
You should be able to
do that.
Yeah,
I got turkey.
Turkey.
I'm doing a turkey. I'm going to make some gravy with some, about a thing, a turkey necks. You know what turkey necks go for at the grocery store?
No, what?
Take a guess.
$18 a leg?
I'm okay.
Or neck?
A neck? I'm going to say $1 a neck.
Five necks, $3.
Wow.
Wait, five for $3?
Now.
Only in America. Say what you want about this country. You can buy five turkey necks for $3.
If you're a turkey listening to this, that has to really piss you off.
Listen up, turkey.
Because if someone was selling five Megan necks for $3, I go, this is bullshit. Megan necks deserve more.
And if you flip the numbers, if it was three necks for $5, you wouldn't even blink. But that's like a way worse deal.
It sounds like a Yo Mama joke, like, Yo Mama's neck so stupid, it goes for three for $5. Wait,
yeah, we should do Yo Mama Thanksgiving jokes for turkeys.
All right, I'll start a Google Doc and we'll start dropping in Yo Mama jokes for turkey necks.
I love this project. I can't wait to see it to completion for sure.
Wait, well, real quick, because I don't think I've ever had just solely turkey necks. What is involved in cooking it?
I'm just gonna cook like a sear some turkey necks in a you know, a pretty big pan,
mm-hmm.
and then just like, you know, add whatever, some drippings and some flour and I don't know what stuff to make it a gravy.
And then you take the turkey necks out at some point.
Yeah, strain out the turkey necks. Get rid of that. You don't want to have a big lumpy turkey neck in there.
No.
But that's where the turkey keeps all its flavor is in the neck. So that's what you want. You want to get those necks in there.
Now, CJ says that he's been looking for a mac and cheese recipe. Maybe you could share. Now, I'm not asking you to share the whole thing. Maybe you leave out one or two ingredients so the secret is safe. But I'd like to lobby for CJ to get the recipe so I can eat that mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And I've been tweaking. Like the last time you guys ate my mac and cheese was... Did I bring it to the Super Bowl party? I forget. I brought something over to your place. I brought mac and cheese to your place a while ago.
Yeah.
I think I've been
improving the recipe. I'm working on it. I've got a much better mac and cheese recipe today than I did 1 year ago.
Oh my God.
Okay.
And what's the secret? What do you think is like an important aspect of a mac and cheese dish to you?
Velveeta. It's like hands down.
Yes.
It's Velveeta. Put it in. And if someone's a snob about it, tell them to take a hike.
Yeah.
It's Velveeta.
Well, because the thing is, they're already being snobs about not wanting mac and cheese. So CJ and I, we've cut any mac and cheese snobs out of our lives.
Got to lose them. You got to go with the good stuff. You go with Velveeta. Okay. And there's more to it, but I'll send over a recipe.
Now, we had our now famous Super Bowl party. And I say famous because it's the last time I felt safe being around people. And maybe for the rest of my life. We had our famous Super Bowl party almost entirely for Joe McAdam.
I can't express how much I appreciate that. It's the sweetest thing. It was the best day of my life, maybe better than my marriage. It was, it was beautiful. It's fine to say it. It's fine to say it.
No, it's not.
It is okay. It is okay. My dad, I think, ranks... Oh, I forgot they listen. But I feel like my dad ranks the Colts winning the Super Bowl behind the birth of his children, but ahead of his wedding day. And they're still married.
Yeah.
So, Dad, you can correct me if that's wrong. We had a saved seat for you.
Yeah, let's give a little backstory. Like, why was it as important to you? And also get into your allegiances a little bit with your teams and sports.
I'm originally from Kansas City. Obviously, I met you guys in Chicago, but I've never latched onto Chicago sports teams. I've always been Chiefs, Royals, and I'm definitely a bigger football fan than anything else.
Yeah.
And so... As a Chiefs fan, I mean, that was the first Super Bowl they've won in 50 years, and they are notoriously the most heartbreaking team. The Colts have destroyed our hopes so many times.
I've had a lot of fun watching the Colts. It's been
rough. It's been very rough. And so now it's like, this is the first time ever in my whole sports life where it's like, it's not even a fluke. It's like, okay, this is a very good team.
Yeah.
And they're expected to win. And that's like, my brain doesn't even know how to process. I've like internalized this identity of being like an underdog.
Yeah.
For sports and for, that bleeds into everything else. That's just,
It's like, cause it was a topic of ours, I think a couple weeks ago, small market teams and like the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs might be the most dominant team in sports. And I also am calculating they're probably the favorites for the next few years. And that's that's strange for Kansas City to hold that.
It's weird.
Not really known. Pat Mahomes is going to be there for his entire career, it looks like. And it's crazy. Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs or Kansas City might be the number one NFL team for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I think I love it. I can't express it enough. It's so cool. I'm doing backflips about it. I'm a little hungover today because the Chiefs just played the Raiders last night.
Our house is struggling today. The Colts beat the Packers in overtime. And
congrats.
There was definitely some reserve alcohol that I had for the election that we didn't get to when you squeak out a game against the NFC North, you got to get that election alcohol popping. And I don't feel good.
Where were you guys going with last night?
We took, CJ and I, just the two of us in our home, took shots of Fireball. And
she had a 12 pack of little airplane Fireballs. And that's the thing. That was the third. We also had these canned margaritas and Palomas that she kept going, do you want to split one? No, not Cutwater, which was an early favorite.
Okay.
But it's these new ones. I don't even know what they're called. I got to figure it out.
And then CJ and I also hadn't eaten because I'd eaten so much the night before. So I was drinking on an empty stomach. So excited. We got drunk enough to do karaoke alone in our home.
With these microphones not plugged in.
Yeah, CJ took them out of the podcast stand and handed it to me. And we said, okay, Ed Sheeran, we're ready.
That rules. I'm so glad. I've been there, I think, at least once during quarantine.
Yeah.
Just me and my wife just singing, the Bee Gees or something, just as loud as possible. What a beautiful moment.
Oh, it felt amazing. I like just before we started this, I was like, I want to do that again. We don't even need the Colts to almost lose a game that they should have won. You know, we can just have fun regardless.
It helps though. Football really helps.
Yeah, but then
it brings you up, it can bring you down. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Well, and then Marc Gasol, the Lakers had signed Marc Gasol. It was just it was a good moment for the Toledano-Gailey household in terms of sports that we then got. Megan ordered ramen, and then I ordered Papa John's.
Hell yeah. I love the the ordering of two restaurants for the same meal.
Yeah.
It's a move that I didn't think I don't know if I had some kind of mental block about it, but I've unlocked that during the last few months, and it's great. Get crazy bread from Little Caesars.
Yeah.
With the McDonald's cheeseburgers and whatever. It rules. I love it.
Yeah. We got Danny Palumbo pasta one Sunday, which is for those of you that don't know, Danny Palumbo is a very talented comedian slash chef. And makes like gourmet food. And I stopped on the way home to get crazy bread to go with it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. I still haven't had Danny's food, but I've heard amazing things. I gotta hit Danny up for an order.
I had spicy tuna on crispy rice last night. And then I popped over and said, heck yeah, I'll have a piece of Papa John's. I don't care.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
It feels like we weren't allowed to do it as kids because there's no way we were. And so there's like a level of we've been left with a credit card that we don't have to pay for, even though we do.
And how much of living with CJ is living in the movie Blank Check?
It's Blank Check. It's also Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yeah.
It's so many. It's all of those things.
I just got a Home Alone blanket delivered.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
go it off, dude.
Sometimes I feel like I am Sally Field and Mrs. Doubtfire, and this is at the beginning. You know, this is the prequel where I'm just like, he's so funny. This is amazing. I love him. He makes me laugh. And then the sequel is obviously, you know, there's a donkey in the living room and she wants a divorce.
They're playing, jump around and they're doing the donkey taking a shit on a birthday cake.
right. So, I worry if Mrs. Doubtfire is my future.
Well, that's, there's worse stuff that could happen than
absolutely.
Then you start to live the film Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, CJ and I get separated. I fuck Pierce Brosnan, and then I go, you know what, CJ, I did like you impersonating an old Filipino woman in our house. I'm coming back.
The thing is,
that was pretty nice. Yeah,
and I guess this makes me a cuck, but whenever Megan brings up fucking Pierce Brosnan or a weird old NFL lineman, I'm like, I'd congratulate you. That's sick.
Hey, high five.
Yeah.
Getting busy with an old retired offensive lineman.
Can you do our podcast afterwards?
Can you get Willie Rofe on this show? Holy cow.
All right. So
incredible.
Let's get into our topic a little bit. We came up with this topic together, which I always look forward to it when we want, our guests, we want the topic to sort of reflect how they view sports. And we came up with greatest quitters. Now, Joe, explain a little bit and without revealing sort of your choices, what is appealing to you for this particular topic?
I think sports are first and foremost for me, how I engage with them is that it's entertainment for me. I'm not much of an athlete and I don't know anything about playing sports.
Yeah.
So the entertainment value of something is superior for me than anything else that I'm looking at. And if someone, everybody has to quit, I'm not even limiting this to retirement or anything. It's just, what's a funny thing you can do that is just quitting? Mm-hmm. I'm done. I can't, I just don't. It's about what it means for someone's brain to just be like, nope, not doing it. No, I'm not, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. And I love that. And that's what I'm looking for.
It's quitting is also so villainized in sports. Yeah. It's the worst thing you can do. They would rather you fight the umpire. You know, they would rather you bash a baseball bat through a third baseline coach's car than to quit. And so when it happens, it sometimes happens in really hilarious ways.
Yeah, no, it's always going to be entertaining when frustration boils over, whatever the thing is, or apathy. It could be any number of reasons, but I love it. Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, because it's like our dream. Like if anyone was to ask us, would you want to play professional sport? We're like, yeah, in a second. But then it's just like these giant muscle dudes or women just like who are so good at their thing. They're like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. It's very funny to me.
I thought you were going to say our dream is to quit stand up. And I was like, for sure. Hell yeah, man.
Yeah. That's every stand up comic's dream is to quit doing stand up comedy. And you can't blame them. And they're right.
It is awesome. All right. As someone who's done it 15 times, pretty great.
I feel like the process is like when you're starting out, you're like, I just want to be able to make a living doing comedy.
Yeah.
And then you make a living doing comedy and you're like, oh boy, I just want to be able to make a living at something else besides comedy so I can stop doing comedy.
I'm looking into other like, I could cook.
You could make
barbecue. I just bought a big barrel smoker. I'll do that. I don't need comedy. I can do other stuff. I'll make brisket.
Your food is so
good. That's a skill. No one is like, there's too many brisket guys in the game, you know? Maybe they are. Maybe that's a Reddit board. But in comedy, you hear someone like starting comedy and you're like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah. Have you guys ever had somebody ask you like, hey, I'm thinking about starting comedy?
All the time.
Yeah. It's just like, don't do it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
There's other stuff out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's get into it. So Joe, how it works is it ascending or descending? Someone tell us.
We start with the number three.
Yeah. Your number three pick.
And then you go to one. So that's
descending. If you're going three to the bottom,
That sounds good. Mine don't even have like a great order, but they're
great.
You know.
It's fine. It's totally okay. Fine.
Well, give us the first one you want to hit us with.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to set the table, this is I think I found out about this just because I was in a YouTube kind of wormhole watching John Kruk on David Letterman. And I can't recommend it enough. Watch every single piece of entertainment from John Kruk on Letterman. But he quit, I think it was 95, in the first inning of a game. He was playing for the White Sox at the time. It was his, you know, mid-season, I want to say. I don't know when in the year it was. And it was the first inning. He hits a single, gets to first base, and then is like, I'm out. And then he leaves. he left the game. Because the reason he did it, what he said is that he wanted to leave and retire with a perfect 300 average. And that was the hit that it took to get him like exactly on the line of batting 300.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm out.
That shouldn't be allowed. So yeah, what was the aftermath of that? Who runs? Like, does someone?
I think they just got a pinch runner, and they're just like, "All right, seated." I don't even know what happened.
Did he have any reason?
He's a very lazy dude. He's just a super like.
But now he's on TV again, all the time, where it's like,
yeah,
it is interesting that then he's like, "All right, I got another job." Like, maybe he just didn't make enough. I don't know that baseball salaries in the 80s were cranking the way they are now. So
it's not quite the same, but he's you know, comfortable.
Yeah.
For sure.
I can't imagine he's like high maintenance either. I'm sure he lives a pretty humble life.
No, yeah. If he's the type of dude where you could see if they had like an MTV Cribs episode for John Kruk.
Yeah.
They brought you to like a double wide, you wouldn't be shocked.
Right.
He's like a laid back dude. He doesn't give a shit.
It'd be like the nicest house of my five uncles. Could be John Kruk's house.
So that's again, watch all his interviews with Letterman because he talks just about like, times when games where they're like, sometimes if you just are stuck on first base and you have to keep running if it's the end of the inning, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like you just have to keep running if there's contact. And he's just like, I don't want to. I don't want to do this. I hate it. I can't bear to play baseball anymore. I'm far too lazy for this.
And there wasn't
the laziest man's game.
There wasn't really like Twitter. You know, I mean, there was nothing. Yeah. So it would be on the local news and then SportsCenter, which wasn't even massive at that time.
And I know, again, because there was no social media, I feel like the league back then could have a little bit of control of the narrative that they didn't like make it a big story so that it didn't set a bad example that you can just quit after getting on base. Like, And also, too, it's like John Kruk, and I just knew him. I knew him from The Best Damn Sports Show, which, again, was like the show that just was a bunch of retired athletes who didn't give a shit anymore. And which I then think, you know, Danny McBride, like Kenny Powers is like based off of John Kruk and maybe like Pete Rose.
Yeah, it's like a lot of John Rocker, John Kruk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's that. Yeah, that's a perfect dead on. Like, yeah, he's just like a dude who is. I don't know. I love fat baseball players.
Yeah.
It's like, I love it. I love a big dude playing baseball. And I'm always going to root for those guys every single time.
I kind of like any fat athlete, man, woman, sport. When I see someone out there just that I know didn't hold back on Thanksgiving, I'm like, I like that. You are
dude,
cool.
You know, yeah. You know how hard it was to watch like the 2015 Royals World Series against the Mets? Going up against Bartolo Colon.
Yes, and I like, love him.
I'm rooting for Colon, dude. I love the Royals, but I'm rooting for Bartolo Colon.
And it's like with him, he was in shape when he got drafted. And then it just slowly how fat he got is funny because it's like, what, are you skipping practice? Like I remember in high school.
And he only got better.
Yeah, he only got better.
I know. Yeah, no, there was somebody who showed it was the year he retired, maybe 2 years ago. I forget when he retired, but it was. It was like his rookie card from like 96.
That's what I saw.
And then what he looked like today. And it was like, holy shit, that is a different dude.
Yeah.
Like totally different guy.
Like Shaq was that way too. It was like, how did you get fatter while playing basketball every day?
Yeah. I love it.
Can I go next? Because my number three pick is a fat athlete.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So my number three is John Daly quitting the Australian Open after hitting six balls in a row in the water. He like and this was like the third time he quit the Australian Open. Like one of the times he left the Australian Open, he broke a reporter's camera. That was like that infamous time. The time before he played in it, he just left after the second round. I think he did qualify and he was like, nah, I'm good. So he hit the wrong ball out of the bunker, which is, listen, I played high school golf and that didn't really even happen that much.
Yeah.
Like you mark the ball, you really know which ball is yours, especially if you're a professional golfer. So that's what got him into this pickle. And then he hit so many balls in the water that he said he was out of balls. And he tweeted, when you run out of balls, you run out of balls. Yes, I shook my playing partner's hands and signed my card with the rules official. And the tournament was like, we would have brought you more balls. And he's like,
easily gotten another ball.
I'm not going to take any more balls.
I'm a big John Daly fan.
Oh, yes.
And I don't watch golf. I don't know anything about golf. I know, you know, I'm that dummy that's just like, yeah, Tiger Woods, right? And then I know John Daly.
No, John Daly, he just transcends golf.
Yeah. I just looked him up on Cameo. Just by pure coincidence, John Daly charges $750 per cameo.
Well,
and I think that's okay.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's a big Trump guy. And so I do think if you're like a Republican celebrity, quote unquote, you're like, it's me or my pillow man. You know, like if you're trying to get a liberal celebrity, you got to have anyone you want. Republican, if you want just a man that bleeds for America to make you a birthday message, there's not a lot of options. Yeah. So you're charging $750. That's the American way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get Craig T. Nelson. You get John Daly.
Craig T. Nelson? Oh, no.
I think so.
I don't know, but I'd assume so. But there, I also want to recommend there's a YouTube video. I forget what the guy's maybe Graham something, but there's an interview with John Daly where he talks about his diet, and I think it's something like 14 Diet Cokes from McDonald's.
More than a 12-pack.
Oh,
yeah, he loves Diet Cokes, and he loves peanut M&Ms, and he loves McDonald's. And,
me too.
And he's like, and the thing is, like, he's cut weight before. Like, when you hear him describe his diet, you would think he should be a fatter man. And then he says like, yeah, one time I went on a diet and I just like didn't eat McDonald's and he lost like 100 pounds. But then he was like, but he said it like hindered his performance. So he decided to put the weight back on.
I would imagine with your golf swing, you get used to
yeah.
a very specific body shape that you're working with.
Yeah, there's this DeChambeau is like this really famous golfer that's on the rise right now, and he gained like 75 pounds and now is better because of it. I mean, John Daly's whole thing was that he could hit the ball far, and like being fat for him, or being, you know, curvy, whatever you want to call John Daly, was part of that recipe.
Yeah, you get to add a little power for sure.
The Australian Open was so mad at him. This was sort of like a three strikes you're out, that in this article, they said that he would never be playing the tournament ever again.
All right.
I knew John Daly had done stuff like this. So I was Googling. I mean, he also quit the USGA, the entire United States Golf Association, because they wouldn't let him have a golf cart during senior tournaments. They're like, no, you have to walk. These men, they're 1,000 years old and fought in World War II. They're walking. So you have to walk. And he's like, well, then I quit golf. If I can't sit in my golf cart, I quit altogether. So so he's left the game altogether now.
Good for him. You know, like, he can do anything he wants. Play by your own rules, John Daly.
All right, great pick. Should I?
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like this guy could be three or one for me, but I'm going to say Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
I was heavily considering him too, yeah.
Yeah, and more so, the thing I remember, and this is like, almost two decades ago, when they would talk about Ricky Williams when I was a kid, they said he, you know, he quit to smoke weed, and everyone was like, and that was like their insult. And then this article in 2016 came out where Ricky Williams said, yeah, that's kind of true. Like, he led, I think, the league in rushing a couple seasons, but then he tested positive for marijuana, which, again, if you're leading the league in rushing and you're smoking weed, you are incredible. Like, if anything, he should be given a new trophy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It hinders my, if I was smoking a ton of weed, I'd probably be terrible at sports, but he was the best. So let him keep smoking weed.
They were so mean to him. It was so really mean. Like Ricky Williams. I feel like this is an issue sometimes I have with the older generation of sports reporters. They'll be like, he's an addict, or they'll frame someone as like a drug abuser. Mm-hmm. And are there people whose lives have like gone in shambles because of marijuana? Yes. Is it the least amount of any substance? Yes, I think so. And also, that's not what happened to this person. He was operating at the highest level. So to frame him as this villain and this addict and this selfish, like, weed man with his... he was like the first player I remember that had dreads or had like long dreads. And even that was shit on. Like, they just were so mean to him. No, I think
it was kind of just ingrained in racism a little bit. It was 100%. Like, okay, this black dude with dreads loves smoking weed. And they're like, we got him. I think that was like a lot of like people in power were like, this guy's going down. He can't be a role model. It's like, it's not his response. I know it's like a classic Barkley thing. It's like, that's not his responsibility to be a role model for your kids. Like, and then also too, it's like in the last few years with CTE and all these injuries, it's like we found that marijuana is a great way to rehabilitate.
Well, it since has come out that he suffered anxiety and social anxiety, and is a huge proponent of medical marijuana, and has done a lot to try and like raise the profile to where it is now, where we see mass like legalization. Like Ricky Williams is a part of that, and is due to things.
Yeah, he's totally ahead of the curve, and turned out to be a role model in a way that nobody expected.
Yeah.
The media narrative around him was for sure racist and just shitty. Mm-hmm. And looking back on that, like I revisited something. I saw an interview with him somewhat recently, and it was just like, what were we told when we were kids?
Yeah.
Like, what were we shown and what were we told about, like, about weed and just any of that? Like, the was it the Sports Illustrated or was it ESPN Magazine where it was, like, him in a dress on the cover?
Yeah.
With Dicka? Like, give me a break.
Yeah. Like,
they treated him so bad.
Yeah, and he was so
cool. And he's,
cool.
like, smarter than anybody that was, you know, of that era.
And that's the thing is, like, so I think he got suspended and fined, And then he ended up just retiring. And then he decided to study. It's called Ayurveda, the ancient Indian system of holistic medicine. So it's not like he retired and then was like just like smoking weed and like buying a bunch of like bongs.
Which he has every right to do. Which he has every right to do.
He became a doctor. He became like he
went on
started,
to buy a million bongs.
Well, and like also him and no, like he was villainized for smoking weed at a time that we now know the NFL knew about CTE. And it was killing people. So it's like, you guys are fucking evil. Yeah. And he just likes to get high. Like, you're so off base on this.
And plus, weed was like barely anything in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, come on. That was... now weed is very... Yeah.
I think they really only test you if they're like pissed at you.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of like they know. But there was a player... I think there was a player who was kneeling last year and had like six random drug tests. And he's like, okay, I didn't come up six times. He's like, luckily I passed them all. But if I didn't, that's fucked up too.
Yeah, no, that's insane. If I was in the NFL, listen, let's just say I get drafted.
Yeah.
A 36-year-old bald 5-foot tall man.
Joe, I don't even think you could be a mascot.
No, I wouldn't even qualify for that. I couldn't be like one of the local guy that like wears a goofy hat that hangs out of the arena or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll be back with our second picks.
And we are back. Megan, you thought you were gonna bring us back.
I did.
All right, let's get on to our second pick. Joe, what do you got for us? Greatest quitter.
I'm going to go with me. I'm myself. I think I've quit every single sport I've ever attempted to play because I'm not very big and strong. But I've quit football. I went to like an all-boys football high school.
Yeah.
You both went to an all-boys school? Wow.
I always get along with a lot of former all-boys school kids.
Because you're, emotionally stunted?
Yeah. No, we were just, we can fart anywhere we want.
Wow, cool.
Anywhere. Yeah. The bathroom, anywhere.
Wow.
All right, Joe, sorry I cut you off. Go ahead.
There is something that it does to your brain to go to an all-boys high school. And, and it's a weird, like, unearned freedom. That no one should have. So I went to like a super football high school, like Friday Night Lights, state championship, always contending kind of high school. And I was freshman year C team, I believe. They had like that many teams.
Wow.
And I quit because my back went out. And it was like, I had back issues. I was a bald 14-year-old.
No.
I was going to say, classic freshman problems.
With a bad back.
Your back went out.
Yeah. Did you guys know that I had a cane for a stretch?
No.
That seems
in high school?
This was like, honestly, before. It was
wow, Joe.
I fell on my back as a little kid and I had like a pinched nerve in my back. And, it's like.
Little Joey.
Trying to be. This is why you quit. It's like, I don't want to deal with any of this stuff.
I don't even know how you were allowed to play in the first place, hearing all of this now.
They make you, at this school, they made you do one semester of sports.
Wow. And,
sounds like a sentence.
You have to do one.
Couldn't you have done like swimming or something that would be good for your back?
Yeah, sure. Definitely could have. I don't know why. Football starts the earliest, so I could get it out of the way the fastest.
Wow.
Quit that. I quit baseball like numerous times. Very bad at that. But baseball is like fine. If you quit, no one really notices.
Baseball's the scariest sport to me, in my opinion. That ball comes at you fast.
Yeah, no, it's insane. Why do people do it? I don't know.
I saw a girl in fourth grade break another girl's jaw in fast pitch softball. And then they left the pitcher in. And my dad was like, what the? I just had a player have to leave in an ambulance. Can you maybe warm up the bullpen?
Somebody, yeah. No, I would definitely be the guy that would throw in to get hit on purpose and take a base. I'm not a great runner. not great, you know, hand-eye coordination. Spent a lot of time. Oh, I had to be hospitalized during a softball game.
What? As a grown-up?
Yeah, as an adult man. I know it's probably like 18. But playing softball on my buddy's like work league. He worked for the video store.
Yeah.
And I was in left field. First play, it was the first pitch of the game, I think. Got hit directly to me. I threw to first base and my arm popped out of the socket.
Ah!
Oh my God.
On the throw to first base. And I had to quit that.
I mean, thank God you quit or you'd be dead. You know, that's why you are one of the greatest quitters. You saved your own life.
Yeah, I quit basketball. I was, again, like a C-teamer basketball. Again, short little chubby fella. I was the defensive specialist, you would say. That was my role. But I very distinctly remember my first game I'm going to start. And this is a big deal for me. It never happened. And we're doing warm-ups, and I got those sick-ass tearaway pants. I just zip off my tearaways. And one of the snaps hits me in the eye, I can't see. I like hurt my eye on my first start. So every single sport I've ever played, I have quit in dramatic fashion. Every time due to injury.
And, not even playing, in game.
One time with an ambulance with the softball one. They took me away in an ambulance.
Oh no.
Wow.
It was a pretty big, I made a big old scene.
I'm impressed that we were able to get someone from your list on the podcast, though.
I know, this is a big get for you guys.
It really is. We have one of the greats here with us.
But that is like, if there were Marvel superhero movies about comedians, it would like, that's your origin story. There'd be that scene where you're trying to play like 8 different sports and you're the ambulance comes for each one. And then you get really into comedy.
Take me away. There's something funny there, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you're in a hospital bed and you see an infomercial for Monty Python. You're like, what's this all about?
Oh, a commercial for comedy.
Yeah. Time Life presents an 18 DVD box set of Monty Python.
You see an advertisement for Kyle Cease's comedy class.
Oh, God. Yes. That's the, you know what? That's the most upsetting, like, celebrity lookalike thing I've gotten.
No.
Joe, we've been your friend for years. We do not think you look like Kyle Cease.
Not at all.
Somebody gave me Kyle Cease. And it's the name of who it is who said it won't be important to any of the listeners, but it's funny for you guys. But it was Dave Odd.
No, Dave Bare Legs
See,
Odd.
And the thing is, if we didn't say Kyle Cease's comedy boot camp, we would have had to say Dave Odd's comedy boot camp.
That's a little Easter egg for any Chicago comedy people out there listening. All right, Megan.
Okay, so my number 2 pick is boxer Oliver McCall.
Never heard of him.
So he actually was the heavyweight champion of the world, knocked out Lennox Lewis in 1994, and then they had a rematch in 1997. And at some point, he just put his hands down and refused to box. They thought maybe he was kidding. Here, this is a quote. I'll read.
Kidding?
They thought he was kidding.
Famously kidding. Famously funny boxer.
This is a quote that I'll read from the referee for the fight, whose name is Mills Lane. He said,
"Oh yeah, Judge Mills Lane."
In the third round, he got in close and then seemed frustrated, and then he just backed off and put his arms down. I thought he was playing possum, but then I saw his lips start to quiver, and I thought, "My God, is he crying?" He, in fact, was crying. And then at some point, he started to, like, try again. And they were like, no, dude, you seem not okay. So they called the fight. Lennox Lewis won. And then afterwards, Oliver McCall did say, oh, yeah, I was just kidding. I totally was kidding. I just was playing possum and then was going to come out and beat him. And he did not ever address why he was crying, though, the boxing ring.
That's like the Larry David SNL story, but for boxing.
Yeah. Like, I was just joking around.
Yeah, I didn't really quit. It's like, yes, you did.
Show up to the fight again. Yeah. Oh, no, here I am. What's up? Let's do this. That's relatable, right? That guy has a relatable story. Yeah. If I was good at Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, if someone punched me in the head, I'd for sure be crying.
Yeah, I'd want that to stop as fast as possible.
I think what they think happened was that he just wasn't able, like he just felt like he was losing or something. So
yeah,
he just refused. This is also someone who was very much villainized for drug abuse. Okay. He was arrested and it ended up basically ending his career. But yeah, he was arrested for, I mean, like some of this shit, like possession of drug paraphernalia in Fort Lauderdale. It's like, well, yeah, of course. Have you ever been to Fort Lauderdale? Like,
what are you going to do?
That's all you do. There's a Hooters. I got my nose pierced there and I got alcohol poisoning. So it's like, yeah, of course my dog has drug paraphernalia. He's a heavyweight master.
Yeah, let him have a damn pipe on him. Why would anyone care? This is what, yeah, what year was this again? 90 something?
So the year he quit and started crying in the ring was 1997 in Vegas. But his last sort of legal issue seems to have been in 2010.
I really want to see like video of this and him just being like, stop hitting me. Knock it off.
That there should be more of that in boxing. Like, ouch, dude, like just evaluating each hit.
The fuck, dude?
You've been working out more than me.
Yeah.
There is like a kind of famous photo of him crying.
Yeah, I've seen that. I never wondered who it was, but
I never knew the backstory, but
that should be the crying Jordan meme, the crying McCall meme of a dude crying because he had an emotional breakdown.
Wow. Okay. So some
things. What's the picture of the Jordan from?
It's from his Hall of Fame speech, and he was crying out of like happiness.
Okay.
It's really strange. Yeah. The internet, yeah, did strange things.
So there are people that, like, this is a reporting from boxingnewsonline.net, one of my favorite websites. And they say that he suffered a mental breakdown during the match, which oh, okay. So he was in rehab and then he left rehab to do the fight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, come on now. See, that's okay. I'm surprised he showed up. He didn't have to fight.
Of course not. No, I'm on his side.
It's really wild.
It's just I think we're only laughing because the visual of a giant beast of a man crying in boxing briefs is like visually interesting, but no, I'm on his side. I like Oliver McCall, and I say go on with your drug paraphernalia, dog. Who cares?
Yeah, no, I always judge an athlete, you know, in terms of being like the greatest or whatever, in terms of who's happiest, you know.
Yeah,
like whatever. If somebody is like a super happy basketball player, they're the greatest in my book.
John Daly seems like a shitty person. Oliver McCall, good person. That's what I'm deciding. Okay. All right. CJ, you want to give us your number two?
So in classic me fashion, it's a Chicago Bull, but maybe not one to celebrate. Did you guys all watch The Last Dance?
Yeah.
So
I watched it with you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You did watch it with me, but I was actually surprised. And I just today was looking up more about it that, when Jordan had left the Bulls in 94, it was then Pippen's team, but Pippen was really upset about the new guy, Tony Kukoc. And again, they detailed this in The Last Dance that it was game three of the 94, playoffs against the Knicks. And again, Pippen, okay, here's your chance. This is your team, but he was kind of like sour about not getting paid and like this new guy coming in that within the last 2 seconds, they were like, all right, your time to shine, Scotty. And he was like, nah, I'm just going to sit this one out. And he sat it out. And then Tony Kukoc hit the game winner in game three against the Knicks. But yeah, Scotty Pippen, who everyone is like, he's the reason why Jordan won, quit in game three of the 94 Eastern semi playoffs on the Bulls. And so, yeah.
Now, so when that story was on The Last Dance, I had never heard it because I blocked out almost all of the 90s Bulls. Was that a commonly known?
No. Again, I think it was the lack of social media kind of wasn't spotlighting some of these weird things that were not weird things, but like it was it's not a fun story to report that Pippen quit, you know, and I'm sure like
hero,
his team.
Yeah. Like the hero of the team and a likable dude did something that was like selfish.
Yeah.
That was like motivated by like, because wasn't the story that like like Phil Jackson was writing up the play and he's like, we're going to give Tony the last shot. And he's like, all right, well, I'm not playing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
So yeah, I forget about that detail. Yeah, you're totally right. It's just like, it's a little bit of his ego. He's like, oh, Jordan's gone. I should be the one shooting that.
Well, and Scotty seemed like deeply remorseful and regretful in The Last Dance.
For sure. Yeah.
And there also seemed to be like players, former teammates that were like, I'm still pissed. Like they still are like, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that definitely, I mean, like, I don't know, watching that documentary was a like a whole new, all that stuff, all the information within was like new to me.
Yeah.
Like the idea of Scotty being underpaid for his entire career, basically.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They tricked him. They tricked him into signing that deal, kind of. I mean, maybe he didn't know he was that good, but yeah, it was like, I kind of get why he quit a couple of times, because there was like another time too, but they totally tricked him to sign a long-term deal. And for what the 90s Bulls were, yeah, he was severely underpaid.
No, there's that one part where they're just like number two in points, assists, rebounds, and then 150th in pay. Like, what are you, crazy? This is nuts. Yeah, no, that poor Scotty, man. He should get paid so much money.
Yeah.
But he did get to have sex with Madonna and Jordan didn't.
Yeah, and Jordan
up
was
top,
pissed.
Scotty.
So that is, and it is rumored that he has a way bigger penis. So it's good, like, I don't know. Is that's in a lot of places, that's pretty good currency.
Wait, do you think Jordan is as good as he is because he has a small penis?
No, there's like no way that Jordan has a small penis. I think he has
put probably, your foot
no
down.
I think there's no way. I think he probably has a hefty hog, but I think I think Scotty's just got the bigger hog.
I want to know every hog size.
Oh, I do too. Absolutely.
For the Bulls of that era, I want to know for every championship Bulls team, let's see the hogs.
You can come back and we'll do greatest sports hogs.
I've been in some locker rooms, some baseball locker rooms, and I've seen some famous hogs.
Famous hogs.
Famous hogs.
I've seen some wild hogs. All right. Before we go any further, let's take a break and we'll be back with our number one picks. And we are back. Joe, how this works, since you're our guest, you'll be the big finale. So Megan and I will pick our number one picks, maybe some honorable mentions. So Megan, why don't you...
Okay.
I see you typing and I'm like, this is the pick I wanted to do.
Sorry. Okay, so one honorable mention is Spice Adams, who is one of my favorite sports comedy people. Like he's a former Bears player, and he threw his own retirement at a White Castle. You know, a lot of times people retire, it's a big deal. Spice was like, I don't really think I'm going to get the numbers I thought I was going to. So he just staged his own retirement at a White Castle that was fully operational, and there were other patrons there.
Then didn't rent it out. Amazing.
No, didn't rent it out. Just posted up there and said, today's the day I hang up the cleats.
That's my kind of guy.
My number one, though, is a former Colts player who became famous in my heart when I saw him as a Dolphins player on Hard Knocks. He was traded from the Dolphins to the Colts on that season of Hard Knocks and told the coach he needed his grandmother on the phone. To be able to sort of let the transaction sink in. And he just kept saying, I need to call my grandmother.
And they're like, hold on a second. Let's figure
and he's
this
like,
out.
Nope, I need my grandmother on the phone right now. I'm sure people have asked like for their agents.
Yeah.
Not my Vontae Davis, baby. He said, give me my grandmother. And he famously quit the Bills and the NFL during halftime, week two of a game. Vontae Davis is the brother of Vernon Davis. And Vontae Davis in his own right was a Pro Bowler with the Colts and then got they just cut him. He was released. The Bills picked him up and he said that he was like a healthy scratch week one, week two. He was starting. He had a tackle that forced a fourth down in the first half. Like he was playing pretty well. And he said he just got into the locker room and he was like, something doesn't feel right. I don't want to do this anymore. And he went up to his defensive coordinator and said, I quit. And they were so confused by what was happening that the chaplain went with him. Like, they thought, like, that he just kept telling the chaplain, like, no, I quit. I'm not coming back. He texted his wife, I quit. And she was like, what is happening? And then that's exactly what he did. I mean, I follow him on Instagram. I did then. I still do to this day. He's been having the best time. He's still in amazing shape. He's still at his playing weight. He goes on vacations. His wife's name is Megan. They seem to have a beautiful life. And he got ripped to shreds. Like, this was someone that teammates, former teammate, they were like, this is so fucked up. How could you do this? He was like a punchline on all of the late night shows that week. And Vontae Davis is like a sweet person. I think he has like a really good soul. And he's just someone who's very in tune with what he needs. And I think is probably sensitive. And he just didn't want to play anymore. And like, listen, football, you can die. I mean, that is a real thing that has happened. It's definitely a real thing that you are cutting down on your life expectancy with each time you step out there. And he didn't want to do it anymore. And I think it's like kind of inspirational to like know yourself and then go, no, I'm good right now. Thank you. Goodbye, Bills.
Yeah. I think that quitting football is like the reward. Like that's, I'm done. I escaped without, you know, getting brain damage or you know, whatever the hell happens to your body by playing football. And it's like, if you're on a team that sucks, what are you, crazy?
Right.
If you're on a shitty baseball team, you just turn into, it's a hangout, every day hanging out. But if you're on a shitty football team, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Just get out of there, quit or get traded, do whatever you can.
I don't know how the Jets still have, like, I think about Frank Gore. I'm like, this is the very end of your career. You're clearly not going to get a like, and they're like, no, he's here every day.
Yeah.
The last one to leave. I'm like, that's almost a mental illness at that point.
Yeah, no, he's a workaholic in some way that you're just like, I can't relate to whatever that is.
Well, we talk about a lot about like late night talk show hosts, and they're all like scared to retire because like Johnny Carson said, the second that he quit was the day he felt like he died. And I think a lot of these players are just like hypnotized.
Well, quitting football is different too, where it's like, if you quit football, it is this thing you've been doing since you were a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's been the only thing you've been doing since you were a kid. You know what I mean? It's like, my whole life has been just training.
Yeah.
And then like, then what? If you're lucky, you get to be like, I'm a car dealership guy, or I own a couple of restaurants or whatever. And otherwise it's like, I just kind of sit around now. I don't know. It's like your life can look really grim after football if you don't have like something going on, if you don't have like a game plan.
Vontae doesn't have anything going on and he had no plan to do this. I mean, I was reading an article that was like a year after he quit, and his like morning routine the day that they were interviewing him was that he was gonna work out and then do some chores. And I just thought that was so cute. Like, that's what I do. You know, like, if I wake up, I don't have to work tomorrow. I'm going to work out and do some chores. Like, that's pretty classic day off stuff.
Yeah, good for him. I'm like, knowing yourself to know that, you're like, I'm out of here. Like,
I
know what people will say, and I know that I'm letting, I mean, I don't even know if it's like letting people down. You know, he was the new guy on the team anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know what the chemistry is like there.
I was working at the NFL. I was at the in the building when this happened. And everyone was like, this is the weirdest story we've ever seen. There were definitely people, especially like the former players, that were like, how could he do this? And I like love Vontae enough that I was like, this is what Vontae wanted. Like, you can't, this is not
it
a
didn't
bad,
surprise
this
us.
Is like a sweet, like very just sweet little soul.
Yeah.
That like
knows
you got,
life past football.
Yeah, you may want to frame him as a villain. That's not what this is going to be. Like, you got to just let Vontae be Vontae. His brother said he was heartbroken. I mean, Vernon, come on now.
It's a big deal for people that I don't know. Like, for me, I'm always just going to be on the side of the player no matter what.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, it's your choice. Do whatever the hell you want. Like, you know, with Andrew Luck, I was just like, yeah, go for it, dude.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Go do what you got to do. This is good for you.
Man.
I mean, that's still probably a touchy subject.
No, it's totally not.
It, yeah. It was going to be one of my picks.
Well, then go off, King.
Well, let's just talk about it a little bit. Great, great segue. Well, so I was going to say honorable mentions, Jordan. A couple different circumstances, but I love that he quit twice, retired or whatever. And then Roberto Duran, boxer who, I guess, like, what made his famous was he said no moss, like, yeah. In the fifth round. He was like, no more, because he just kept getting punched. But I think it was, like, part two of that fight, and he just showed up out of shape, he said. So I didn't know if Andrew Luck, but I think, yeah, in talking about this, Andrew Luck is my number one pick for greatest quitter because, again, I totally agree. Like, as a Colts fan, and what was, like, their biggest flaw over those years was that he not a great O-line, right?
He was not protected, and he was constantly being hit,
yeah,
running, and like, ruptured his spleen. I mean, he had traumatic injuries that were caused from humans banging into him with helmets.
Yeah. And again, short, like a short-lived career. And what we know about Andrew Luck is like just the nicest, sweetest man.
Very
and for him
smart.
To get hit that many times, it's like, of course he's like calling it quits. Of course, like, yeah, maybe stick around for a couple more years, but the same shit's going to happen. Like, I don't even care. Like, if he ever was like, I want to come back, I'd be like, I don't even think you should, Andrew.
No, if he came back, I'd be like, what the fuck? But, you know, he was booed. It was during a preseason game when the news came out. And so people got like alerts on their phone that were at the game and started booing him. And I love the Colts more than maybe any person on earth, which is not an awesome sentence to say, but I do. And so I was, yeah, it hit me like a gut punch.
Yeah.
And then I also, as like just a human being, started to think of the things we're saying. I think the only thing that Colts fans can be upset about is the timeline. Like, it was 10 days before the season started or something insane, where it's like, oh, I guess personally, I would just like to know, like, when did he start feeling that way? What was the conversation? But guess what? I'm not privy to that because it's not my fucking business. You know, like, it is a human. It is a human's health and safety. And we don't necessarily know the conversations that happened between the organization and him. And if there was, like, if there were moves on the O-line that he was promised were going to be made and then they weren't, I don't know what led him to that decision. But that's the only thing that I've ever been like, yeah, you can be like, I don't like the timing of this, but you can't be mad at a person for picking their health over being on this team that's not that good.
Yeah, no, it was the right move. And man, I don't know. But did the Colts improve the offensive line? Like,
they did.
Almost immediately after he left?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it was pretty quick, right?
Yeah, because this wasn't last year. This was 2 years ago.
They got Quentin Nelson.
And yeah, we got Quentin Nelson. I mean, now we're supposedly have the best O-line in the league, except for yesterday. They were the biggest piece of shit. But yes, they did. And that's probably a credit to all the shit Andrew had to put up with.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. I could talk about like what's going on with the Colts with you for a while, actually.
Yeah.
I'm so curious about, all right, what's the deal with Philip Rivers and how does... What's the consensus of fans, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, and I wonder it because then Jacoby Brissett, they were like, okay, this is going to be our starter, who was the backup, came in and played really, really well. I think far exceeded people's expectations. And you almost have to wonder like, oh, did that give Luck peace at making that decision? Like, he was like, okay, Brissett was Brady's backup. He's been here a few years. He's good. I think Jacoby Brissett is probably one of the best backups. I think he could be a starter. And you have to be like, that must have made him be like, okay, I can leave and I'm not leaving them with, you know, a rookie who, a total disaster of a person. So I think it's a testament to Jacoby. I just love Jacoby a lot.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, he's great. All right, Joe. So bring us home here with your number one pick for greatest sports quitter.
Okay, this is like it's maybe bending the rules, but I love it. It combines all the stuff that I want in this. It's a fat athlete, a fat baseball player. It is high stakes, as high of stakes as it can possibly be. This is my number one quitter is Babe Ruth, the 1926 World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals. And it's game seven, end of the, two outs in the ninth. And Babe Ruth is on first base. And attempts to steal second base and then gets thrown up by about 10 feet. Just like not even close, ends the series. Yankees lose. Yeah, they could have had another World Series and he just like ran to second base. Just like, whatever. You know, like, like I don't know what even what you're thinking in a moment like that other than like, I'm going to leave because I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I would rather be just like downing beers and Polish sausages. I'm out. Let's wrap up this game, treating it like it's, you know, a middle of July kind of like who gives a shit game at the World Series. Love it. Love it. I love what it says about the man. Yeah. I love what it says about the sport. I love everything about it. It's maybe my favorite sports thing that has ever happened.
It's just probably,
the best guy doing that.
It's like the biggest athlete ever. And like, when I say Jordan quit, but he had like a formal announcement, but Babe Ruth, for as like iconic as he is, to go, yeah, I'm good.
It's going to wrap up this season.
Totally fuck my team too.
No, everybody's counting on you. you're goddamn Babe Ruth.
You're the Babe. Wait,
like, when you think about it in the context of him, I'm like, was he hungover? Was he drunk? Did he have to pee? Like, he truly may have just been like, I got to take a shit. We got to get out of here, guys.
I gotta take a shit, guys. like, did he like not know the outs, like how many outs there were? Like, what the hell?
He doesn't even strike me as a base stealer. Like, has he ever even stolen a baseball? Like, he was a stovepipe of a man.
No, I don't know what the stats are, but there's no way he's given us even close to good numbers for his. I'd be shocked if he had like two stolen bases career. Like, he's a big fella. Yeah. He's not, and also like, that's not his game at all. What are you, crazy? No. That's my favorite thing that's ever happened in sports. Just giving up on your whole team, on the whole season.
Yeah.
On the entire
not
sport.
Not even being any, I mean, with how out he could have maybe gone back to first. Like, seems like he wasn't even that far off first base.
The account of it says he got thrown out by about 10 feet. Just unbelievable. Unreal how far away he was.
Yeah. If you were to ask me the feet between first and second base, I probably would have guessed around 10 feet.
What is that? 10 feet in between those? That's my guy. That's my number one dude.
And
I love
still
him.
Managed to have a candy bar named after him. Good for him.
And it's good too.
It is good
too. It's one of the better candy bars.
So good.
It rips apart my mouth, but very delicious and worth it.
I'll never quit on a Baby Ruth candy bar.
No.
Yep, absolutely. Love the guy. Love his candy.
All right, Joe. Well, thank you so much for doing this. Where can people find you? And what are some projects you'd like to plug?
I do a Patreon where I will mail jokes to your house. I do that instead of using Twitter for jokes. I still use Twitter for jokes a little bit. But like, go to patreon.com/JoeMcAdam or Twitter. I'm at Joe McAdam.
They are so good.
But I do a sketch comedy thing called Butt with Chris Stevens.
Butt is so funny.
The one as people know, because people started replying to my tweets that listen to the podcast, that I eat a lot of gummies. But I love eating gummies and reading your Patreon, your analog tweets, as you call them. And one of my favorites recently, it was just so short. It was just like, you should be able to eat lotion. I don't know why. It was like the perfect thing to hit.
Gummy and writing of them. That's the fun way to do it.
Great.
It's nice to get mail too. That DeJoy has unsuccessfully dismantled the USPS.
We can have fun again.
Yeah, we can have fun in the mail again. And isn't that what we've been trying to do? Just have some pen pals, read some tweets, print it out.
That's all. Yeah. So do that. It'll be fun. You'll really enjoy getting a piece of mail.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll link to that. And Megan, where can people find you?
Oh, boy. CJ's mom just sent a picture of White Castle sliders. That's just the type of thing going on in the Toledano family thread.
We like to snack.
18 cheeseburger sliders from White Castle. You can find me at Megan Gailey, at Better Megan Gailey. I've been getting some questions about the bubble machine. It will be coming back once basketball is back. And that's not because I prefer basketball. I just needed more than the NFL and college football. That doesn't stir my soul the way it used to.
And at one point, basketball was doing it right.
So when basketball's back, the bubble machine will be back, baby.
And you can find me at CJ Toledano on everything. That has been another episode of The Greatest.
Rate, review, yep. Subscribe.
You have a good Thanksgiving and be safe out there. Stay home if you can and wear a mask.
The Greatest is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.